glory, all beauty, all knowledge, and all abnegation are beautifully assimilated in the person of Bhagavan. Consequently, the aspects of Brahman and Paramatma are inherently existent in Bhagavan. Since the Bhagavan is the transcendental autocrat, as well as he is vested with infinite potency, all of his casual and regular sports are eternally manifested. Since he is absolutely independent, although being the creator of rules, he is not bound by them. He is one without second, without any equal or superior to him. The transcendental potency of the Supreme Lord is endowed with wonderful prowess. Out of the transcendental prowess, the internal potency of the Lord transforms itself into the transcendental abode of the Lord, transcendental sports of the Lord, transcendental apparatus, etc. The transcendental abode is the manifest transformation of the absolute aspect of the potency. A type of atomic transformation of this wonderful potency is also perceived. The marginal process of that transcendental potency, known as Jiva Shakti, has manifested the multitude Jiva souls by the usage of atomic particle of sentience. Atomic transcendental qualities and atomic activities of the transcendence. Okay. So, yeah, transcendence, transcendental qualities and activities. So all the atomic aspects of the internal potency. So I guess this is the original atomic knowledge. Another prowess of that transcendental potency is there, in the form of its shadow. This shadowy potency is called Maya. Out of this Maya has manifested the five great elements, the fivefold qualities of them, 10 numbers of sense organs, mind, citta, intelligence, intellect, and egoism, 24 phenomenal principles in aggregate. Okay, so that means you have, okay, out of it manifests the five great elements, fivefold qualities of them, meaning from each comes the, you know, the five great elements and then the qualities of them. From earth comes smell, from water comes taste, like this. Then the sense organs. Then you have the 10 sense organs. Then the mind, intelligence, ego, and then the citta is the consciousness. Not the citta consciousness, no, it wouldn't be. Yeah, I guess the mundane perception. Right. Oh, contaminated consciousness, I think is what they call it here. So in other words, you have the consciousness, then you have the mind, which actually means the intelligence and ego are parts of that. So then the mind, depending upon that citta, or that consciousness, then it's going to deal with its surroundings, you know, which means the senses and the sense objects. So this means you're going to have your 10 senses, the sense, and then the sense objects, and then earth, water, fire, air, ether, that everything is made out of. Right? So then that's the sphere, that's the field of activities, will be this. You understand? So it looks like it's a lot of things, but actually it means it's a lot, but it's 20 of its base is basically what you perceive and what you perceive with, the senses and the sense objects. Right. Then you have the mind, intelligence, false ego, the subtle body, because everything else is dealing with the gross. And then you have the consciousness, polluted consciousness. That makes sense?
What's the difference between polluted consciousness and the mind?
The difference between polluted consciousness and the mind. Polluted consciousness is the living entities thinking that I am the controller and enjoyer. Right? So that's just that. So that could be controller of anything, enjoyer of anything. The mind then gives specific form to that. You want to be the controller by being, you know, a big manager or a big sense gratifier or, you know, a dog or a bird or, you know, whatever it is. Does that make sense? Then that will be then manifest through then the senses and the sense objects. Right? Because you have to have a body, so it's made out of the five elements. You have to have an environment which that body is is functioning, so that's also made out of the five elements, and then you interact with those, that forms made of the five elements with the senses. Like that.
So is that citta, is it another subtle element? Is that another
It's the polluted consciousness. So even when you get rid of the gross body, and even the subtle body, you still have polluted consciousness. That's why the impersonalists, they never can go back to Godhead. They can't enter the spiritual world because they have polluted consciousness. So even when you're on the planet.
Avishuddha Buddhaya, there's a sloka, Avishuddha Buddhaya, that they're describing the impersonalists.
Okay. When they're in the Vasudev Sattva, that's before the creation has even happened, it's just the souls, but they're there. So even though they're situated in the Brahman platform, but they're still thinking I'm the controller and enjoyer. Right? So that's the difficulty. The Brahman platform, just being on that without devotional service, still you're going to think I'm the controller and enjoyer, because you think I am God and I will enjoy the happiness of being God, you know, the Brahmananda. So it's still controller and enjoyer. You know, it's the natural stage. If I can't actually practically control it and enjoy it, then I'll make a philosophy, not interact with it, and then say I'm the, you know, I couldn't do it, and now I say that I'm better than that. You know, it's like the what do you call it? The fox with the grapes. You know, he couldn't get the grapes and enjoy them, so he says, you know, they were sour anyway, you know, like that. So in this way, he feels he's superior. Yeah.
So that's the polluted intelligence.
No, it's the polluted consciousness. Yeah. Intelligence is just an element, material element. Polluted consciousness. Because the soul is naturally conscious. So when that consciousness is polluted, then that brings him to the material world. If the consciousness is pure, then he remains in the spiritual world. But if it's polluted, he comes to the material world. Right? So that's the point, is the consciousness is polluted before you get here. So this whole idea is, you're going to, you know, how you say, you can't fall from the spiritual world. Where else is the jiva going to make a decision from? Right? Because the consciousness can be polluted before he gets into the material world. Does that make sense? Brahman, there are no qualities anyway, so how he'll make a choice? If he's just in Brahman, in the Brahma Jyoti, then how he's going to decide whether the material or spiritual world, he can't see either of them, it's too bright. You know what I'm saying? So all these are just foolish concepts because of deism. Right? Isn't it? Just like they deify the spiritual realm to the point where it can't accommodate the material. Material is the shadow. Right? So the material world is a shadow of the spiritual world. You know what I'm saying? So it's not that the spiritual world has a problem with Maya. Just she doesn't function in that regard there. Right? Only here, then she'll function in that way. Does that make sense? Because it's just part of the potency. We're the atomic particles of the chit potency. And Maya is the shadow of the chit potency. So it's not a problem for her. Right? It's a problem for us because we're taking that the spiritual world can't have any of the qualities of the material world. Which is true. No, the qualities of the material world are coming from the spiritual world. So in this way we say, oh, there can be no lust and no anger and that. Yes, it won't be in Goloka. But it doesn't mean that the chit potency can't interact with it. You know what I'm saying? Because the chit potency is running everything anyway. Same chit potency is Yogamaya and is also Mahamaya. Because technically there's only one potency that is unlimited. Right? So then, because of that unlimited nature, then we have breakdowns of the different aspects. But there's one Shakti, and that Shakti then contains the internal, external, and jivas. Is it 1 second? Yeah.
I just wanted to ask, the pure devotee lives in the material world, the shadow of the spiritual world. How do they experience? Do they experience Maya?
No, they don't experience Maya. Not exactly that either. It means the point is that what is the Maya? Right? Is this rock Maya? So then that means the pure devotee could experience it without experiencing Maya. You know what I'm saying? Are the pillars of this building, are they Maya? No, they're just external energy, that's all. So therefore the pure devotee in the world can see all that. But why it's not Maya is that he sees it in relationship to Krishna. While those who are in Maya, or those who are covered by illusion, don't see it in connection with the Lord. You understand?
But then they cannot be the same happy for being in the material world.
That doesn't matter, because there's no time and space, as it mentioned here. Okay. Yeah. The sentient spirit, beyond the influence of phenomenal space, material space, time, sense organs, physical body, and their relations, is known as the self-realized soul. So they're beyond that, so it's not going to bother them. It's just not necessarily the most ideal situation. You know what I'm saying? But it's not, they can still function. Does that make sense? See, because the point is, what you have to remember is, they are the same jivas as we are. Just there, understand who they actually are while we don't. You know, so it's not something different. It's the same thing. It's just they naturally are situated in their own natural consciousness. Right? So therefore, whether they're moving here in the spiritual world, then it's not, as far as being God-conscious and all that, it's not a problem for them. They can be just as God-conscious here as there. The only difficulty is here, because it's inferior, it doesn't have the characteristic convenience of the spiritual world, because it is affected by time and space. Their consciousness is not affected by it, but because they're working with the material form and all that, it is. Does that make sense? You know, I see that the fan over there, I have to get up and walk over there and get it. In the spiritual world, means if you put your hand like this and you look at, you can see the fan, right? You can see your hand. All you have to do is just close it, right? But the point is when you close it, then there's space. In the spiritual world, there's no space. You understand? So this place is very inconvenient for the Nitya Siddhas. You know what I'm saying? But they're willing to take that inconvenience out of affection for the Lord. Does that make sense? But the point is remembering Krishna. It's only Krishna's place. It's just, you know, the inferior place. You know what I'm saying? Just like a man has a big estate, and some parts of the estate are superior and some parts are inferior. You know what I'm saying? You know, where the compost heap is and all the garbage and, you know, all that kind of stuff. You know, the tool shed, all that. That's the inferior place, you know. And then where the nice house and gardens and lawns, that's the superior place. You know, so it's just all his place. So it's nicer in the nice place, and it's not as nice in the other part. But they're still the same people. Does that make sense?
Being all these elements are manifestation of the shadow energy, shadow potency.
Shadow.
Yeah, that means that all of them are imbued with ignorance.
Means what's here is imbued with ignorance.
Yeah, like beginning of the chitta, in the consciousness, all the elements, everything is like dull or ignorant.
What's the point?
I'm just saying that. That's why those who are absorbed in those are...
Because if you're associated with matter, you'll become dull like matter, if that's what you're meaning. Yeah, that's there. But the point is the soul is conscious by nature, while the matter is not. So therefore, they can be conscious of what actually makes it work. So since it's dead matter, how is it going to be able to do anything? How is it going to have any potency to do something? Because material energy is just pradhan. It's just homogeneous, you know, matter. but that it's been separated and that all those different elements are doing something and showing some quality, where would that come from? It can't come from the material potency. Right? It comes from Krishna. Does that make sense? And so then the day-to-day management of it is given to Maya. She takes care of the day-to-day management, but that potency comes from Krishna. You know, just like you have somebody who's very wealthy and he has something to, you know, a factory or something to organize. It's his factory, it's his potency, it's his money, but there's a manager there and they run it. You know what I'm saying? But it's still his potency. So in the same way, the material world is running because of Krishna's potency. So the devotees see Krishna, the workings. That's why they're never an illusion. But they're not just satisfied seeing the workings. They see Krishna. You know what I'm saying? Krishna is doing all these things. You know, because of the Bhagavan understanding. So when we deal with Brahman, we're dealing with part of Brahman. So, you know, it's the person, you know, that is the source of Brahman, rather than just the Brahman on its own. So that's why when devotees deal with these elements of Brahman understanding, like in the second canto, they don't have any problems in adjusting that to, you know, Bhagavan. You know what I'm saying? Well, the impersonalists, they're just getting used to the idea of going from Brahman to Parabrahman. Right? So they're staying within the category of Brahman. You know what I'm saying? Because one is you're just seeing the homogeneous, you know, Brahman state. The other is that you're seeing the qualities within the Brahman state and the source of those qualities of the person. Right? So that's part of Brahman. Right? Everything's transcendental, but it's still coming from the person. And that transcendentalness is qualities. It's not just something like that. That light, that Brahma Jyoti they're talking about, that is the effulgence of Krishna's qualities. Right? You know, someone has good qualities, they look effulgent. Someone does has bad qualities, they look very dark. Right? So that effulgence, and that is because some quality is present. Right? So he has unlimited qualities, so therefore there's a lot of effulgence from that. Does that make sense? Yeah?
Yeah, but when I experience the energy that in Krishna it's out of Brahman.
Say again?
That means when devotees experience the material energy, they see its qualities as coming from Krishna.
Yes. Because so there's no illusion, because that's what's going on. Maya doesn't mean the material, doesn't mean this material phenomena. Maya means that you see and observe, I mean, you observe and interact with this material phenomena without Krishna being involved. I'm saying you're the controller and enjoyer of it. That's Maya. But interacting with material phenomena in connection with Krishna, that's not Maya. Does that make sense? Because one could say that it's synonymous, but it's not. It's the consciousness that makes it Maya or not, because you have Shankachuda, right? He comes into Vrindavan, which is the spiritual world, right? And then he tries to make off with some of the gopis, which are spiritual, you know, living entities in spiritual forms, right? So he is, applying his material, his conditioned consciousness within the spiritual world, right? So that's why then he's immediately dealt with. Balaram comes over and kills him, right? Because you don't do that in the spiritual world, right? You want to do that, you come here. I mean, still you get killed, but you know, at least, you know, I want that. You know, you might be given a little bit more time before you're killed, right? Does that make sense? So the whole point comes down to consciousness. So just as you could be in the spiritual world and have material consciousness, you can be in the material world and have spiritual consciousness. So the point is those with spiritual consciousness are qualified to be in the spiritual world, and those with material consciousness are qualified to be in the material world. Right? But there's an overlap. Because if there's not an overlap, how do you decide which one you want to be in? that's the point. So at that point of overlap or in the material world, still the devotees are just seeing Krishna's potencies and all that. So they're absorbed in him. So they never have a problem being separated from Krishna. There's like one time I think that the devotees having kirtan or doing something, you know, and all the devotees were in between Prabhupada's and the Vyasa-san, and then the deities at the other end. And so then devotees were all in between and dancing and everything. And then I think one of the Matajis was I don't know if it was during the time or afterwards or something, was complaining that the devotees were in the way so Prabhupada couldn't see the deities. You know, Prabhupada couldn't see Krishna. And then Prabhupada corrected her and says, no, a spiritual master can always see Krishna. You know, whether anybody is standing in the way or not, they still see Krishna. You know, because they're always absorbed in Krishna. So it means if not in the deity form, it's some other form. So there's never a time when there's not something that they don't see as Krishna. Does that make sense? So therefore, it's not a problem. Right? So that's why devotees can come here, preach and all that. And they're seeing the same thing you're seeing, just you're seeing in Maya, they're just seeing what it is. Right? You know, we're seeing it as a Rolls Royce or something fancy and very expensive, and that, and Prabhupada sees it as a tin can with four rubber wheels on it. Because that's what it is. You know what I'm saying? It's a very expensive tin can. Right? Does that make sense? It's not something else. We just put on it that, oh, this is all... Does that make sense?
Namarupa.
Yeah, that's it. The name and form, as Krishna says. Living entity comes to the material world, he wants to enjoy. Krishna then provides the names and forms. Does that make sense? So it's not that they don't see the same thing, and you know, it's done a little nicer, its aesthetics is a little better, you know, so therefore the Krishna's quality of beauty, or you know, the wealth aspect, or you know, whatever else might be there, power or something like that, then can be perceived in it. So of the, you know, tin cans that are around, this tin can is, you know, has a little bit more of Krishna's potency in this way or that way, but even that's not so important. It's what the conditioned souls think are important. Right? Means you come out in the roles, they figure you must be somebody special. You show up in something else, you know, Polsky Fiat, then, you know, nobody even stops, right? You know. Maybe it was a stretch Polsky Fiat, but... you know what I'm saying? So it's just whatever they accept, right? You take a, what do you call it? You take a military vehicle, and somehow or another, if you just paint it up nicely and put some chrome wheels on it and everything, then everybody goes gaga over it. It's just a military vehicle meant to go through mud and everything else like that. But somehow you just paint it up nicely, and then, wow, something special. Right, and so now it's like they have some big kind of like functions, but it's a little bit not so formal, but a little bit more, you know, sporty element or you know, lively element. Then they'll have one of these and they'll make a stretch out of it, and you know, a limousine out of it, and that's considered very special. You know, you know, you have a tank limousine or something. that, you know. Yeah, it's just half-track limousine. You know what I'm saying? So it's arbitrary what people decide is something special. You know what I'm saying? And so the modes of nature make things look more attractive or that, because people have to be inspired. So the Maya always has something that's attractive. As soon as one thing goes down, another one's coming up. Just when you think nothing can replace this, she's already got a replacement. Right? Because everything here is already not so special. So to bring up more, you know, mediocrity is very easy. You know what I'm saying? Is that okay? Yeah? Yes.
You said that strength in the pillar is Krishna. So Where are Maya's qualities?
Where are Maya's qualities? Maya's quality is that you don't know that it's Krishna. Maya's quality is the ability to cover Krishna. Because the living entity wants to be the controller and enjoyer. So how can you be the controller and enjoyer if the real controller and enjoyer is there? You know what I'm saying? You know, if you have a guy who's really tough and thinks he's really cool, so as long as others accept him like that, then it's fine. But if others, you know, they look more cool and more that than him, then he feels intimidated. So he's going to be jealous or make problems with them or this or that or, you know, something. So he's much more comfortable without being in that association, right? So therefore, Maya's business is to keep it so you don't see Krishna here, because then you're going to feel bad, right? I mean, what happened to Hiranyakashipu when he was told God is everywhere? God's superior and God is everywhere. So did he become humble? No, he became more indignant. You know, where is this guy? You know, is he in the, if he's everywhere, is he in this pillar? Right? He didn't, you know, get down on his hands and knees and start praying to the pillar. He attacked the pillar. So that's the problem. So Maya means is that which is not. You think the pillar is the special thing, but it's not that. It's Krishna that's the special thing. Right? And the pillar happens to be the medium for that. You know what I'm saying? It's just like you go down to the florist. Is it that all those red roses and all the florists, they all have the potency to somehow or another attract the mind of a woman to commit herself to, you know, a man? Right? Is that what roses, that potency is? The rose has that potency. All you have to do is whip out that rose and immediately the ladies are falling over themselves. Right? Is that how it works? So then, what is it? Right?
It's the medium for expressing.
Yeah, it's a medium for expressing commitment and all those kind of things. So it's just the favored, you know, I mean, of course, better than that's a 5-carat, you know, diamond ring. But, you know, if you don't have that, then at least, you know, the rose does okay. You know, if you're on a budget, then roses are great. But if you got the cash, then hey. Does that make sense? So the point is there are mediums for that. They're not doing it themselves. Does that make sense? But they're a medium for it. You know what I'm saying? So if that person, you know, everything went very well and all that, you could probably find that same rose, you know, squashed between some book covers somewhere, you know, 20 years later, you know, it's been dried and occasionally pulled out and looked at and smelled and, you know, the remembrance. But if that same guy who used the rose as a medium annoys them, then that rose along with everything else gets thrown out. Right? Okay. So that's the whole point, is it's just a medium. So it carries it, you know, whatever it is, favorable or unfavorable. It's just a medium, but it's not the rose. So the illusion is that it's the rose, or that it's this, or that it's that. That's it. My money is making me happy. No, it's the potency of wealth. It's Krishna's potency that creates security, because wealth is Krishna. Right? It's one of his qualities. Therefore, that's why you feel secure with wealth, or secure with beauty, or with knowledge, or with fame, or with power. You know, you feel, because it's Krishna. You know what I'm saying? And then those are Krishna's qualities, and then there's an external manifestation of those qualities. So you take the external manifestation as being the real thing, but it's not the real thing. In the spiritual world, there's a non-difference, but in the material world, there's a difference. Because it's just dead matter here. Well, there it's spiritual, so it's what's manifest is actually the, you know, how you say, manifested quality of the potency, you know, either internal or the jivas. You know what I'm saying? So they're non-different. You know, so but in the material world there's a difference. So Maya is that potency that doesn't allow you to see the non-difference between it and the Lord. You think it's separate.
So the qualities of this Rupa Shakti, are they also Krishna?
are the qualities of the Supshakti. Yes, that means, of course, they are, but at the same time, they're different. Krishna's qualities are non-different, at the same time, he is different. His potencies. You know what I'm saying? So that's why you can't separate them. You know what I'm saying? Yes.
So I'm amused by the what you just said, but like the way Maya always has something, continual flow. So, you know, there's always that one.
The continual flow of mediocrity.
Yeah. But similarly, like Maya could be, you know, like you can see it as Maya covering us. So we're just being attracted to the qualities, but not seeing them as the qualities. And also, it could be like, the Maya going, oh, this is look how beautiful Krishna is. And we're like so stupid that she's showing us Krishna's qualities. That she's so kind to come in the forms that we may take care of, take notice of in this world. And she's just pointing out Krishna, you know, she's attracting us by Krishna's qualities, but we're so dense that we're not seeing them as Krishna's qualities. Is there that aspect that she's on her mercy, where she's...
Oh, it means whether that kindness on her part is
so
there. I would say as for the devotee, then you would be dealing with that. But the point is that it's like this. The souls that are materialistic, they should not be in the spiritual world. Therefore, Maya creates this illusion for anybody who is not on the proper platform. Right? You're saying so that they are kept out of the spiritual world.
Engaged,
yeah,
them.
Yeah. Because otherwise, then if you get bored of the material world, where are you going to look?
Yeah.
The demons get tired of the lower planets, and they go to the heavenly planets and take over. So they're going to do something. They got to have it. They have to have a good time.
So then, when the switch comes, when eventually the jiva gets some special mercy and starts seeing some qualities of Krishna instead of just hanging after their own control, then is it like her mercy comes in a different way? Then she becomes...
Yeah, because then she'll give you all the facility to serve Krishna.
Yeah.
It's still coming from her,
yeah,
but it's by Krishna's arrangement.
Yeah.
If you're very, very special, then Krishna may personally make the arrangement. But otherwise, she makes the arrangement because she's the same person as Yoga Maya.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's just a different capacity, different office. So that aspect is there, but that's by Krishna's grace, and, you know, like that. In other words, by Krishna's order, then she pulls back the illusion. Like Lord Chaitanya was telling Maya that now you remove the illusion covering the scriptures so that they can't see about the Sankirtan mission, and they can't see about Lord Chaitanya. Because up to there, the same verses are there, but no one could understand them. And then when she removed that illusion, then it was very clear, like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. As soon as he heard Lord Chaitanya and this and that, all these verses that he already knew then made sense. Like that. Good, but before that, then they don't make any sense. So Maya, at the Lord's dictate, then keeps the living entities covered, so they won't create trouble. Okay, then we'll deal with four then tomorrow. Right? Today's Thursday, right?
Yeah. No, but when you are actually seeing the source, then the emulation isn't actually interesting.
Yeah. When you see Krishna, then before that, you know, you're thinking, oh, it's, you know, whatever it is. It's, you know, something natural, it's brick, it's this, it's that, or whatever. You may be impressed by it. But as soon as you understand Krishna's the potency, then that doesn't become so important anymore. But since you're building a column for Krishna, then you'll want to use all the same qualities and make it work nicer. Does that make sense? Om Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jai Srila Prabhupada ki Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi. No, those are different. Polluted consciousness, I am the controller and enjoyer. False ego is what tell you how you manifest.
If you're done, pray if you see us.